I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have a ton of questions about LASIK? You're not alone. That's why we created LASIK.com, one place where you can go to find every answer to every question on your mind. Like, how much does LASIK cost? How long does recovery take? How do I find a doctor? If you've been thinking about LASIK, go to LASIK.com now. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
Countdown with Keith Olbermann is a production of iHeartRadio. The James Comer scandal. James Comer, the Republican congressman from Kentucky who yesterday was anointed as the chief inquisitor in the meaningless, endless, perpetual investigations coming of Hunter Biden. That James Comer, the incoming head of the House Oversight Committee, James Comer of the James Comer scandal. James Comer was credibly accused 7 years ago by his college girlfriend from the 1990s of physically and mentally abusing her, of calling her mother and threatening the girlfriend's life, of becoming enraged after finding that she said, had written in his real name on the paperwork at the abortion clinic. She says the, quote, pro-life, unquote, Comer had driven them to end their pregnancy. Oh, and she still had that paperwork in a safe deposit box. That James Comer. House Republicans spent their first full day as majority-elect touting a Hunter Biden investigation, and as soon as those words were out of their mouths, the incoming chairman of the Oversight Committee, this yokel Comer from Kentucky, you may have heard of the James Comer scandal, he said, no, it's not an investigation of Hunter Biden. Quote, I want to be clear. This is an investigation of Joe Biden. This is where this crap finally stops. No, I want to be clear. This is not an investigation of Joe Biden. This is not an investigation of Hunter Biden. This is an investigation of James Comer and violence against women and the abortion he allegedly took her to and his apparent attempt to cover it up. Or that's what it will be if Democrats have learned anything. James Comer, Chairman of the House Oversight Committee, James Comer, the face of the Hunter Biden investigations, already squeezing real news off the front pages because that's what news in this country has become. James Comer on Meet the Press Sunday or This Week Sunday or Face the Nation Sunday, and they will think themselves geniuses for booking him Sunday. James Comer ran for governor of Kentucky in 2015, and in the waning weeks of the primary, he was hit with a double scandal. His girlfriend of the early 1990s, Marilyn Thomas, who was still a Republican, wrote a letter to a local newspaper and accused him of hitting her, of threatening her, of separating her from her family, of being, quote, toxic, abusive, and causing me a lot of suffering. Everything I did, everywhere I went, and everyone with whom I interacted had to be approved. Consequences were violent and swift otherwise. 7 years ago, a Republican state senator rushed to defend Ms. Thomas, saying she had known her since 1995 and believed every word of it. Ms. Thomas's college roommate rushed to defend Ms. Thomas, saying she had seen all the Comer abuse in real time. And her mother said Comer had called their home in the middle of the night and threatened the daughter. And a James Comer lawyer came back with what? Quote, I've heard unpleasant things about her personality and mental state. All of this was front page news in Kentucky in 2015. And then Comer lost that primary for governor, and he wasn't news anymore. And because this is the other biggest thing wrong with the news media, the Marilyn Thomas story and the violence allegation and the threat allegation and the abortion allegation just vanished. You don't like this sort of stuff? Well, this is how anybody ever ends anything they don't like that is being done to them. You have to do it more and louder and worse to the guy who started it. And if the Democrats are smart, they make and they can put whatever distance they want to between themselves and the party itself and the new congressional leadership itself. They can make James Comer and what happened at Western Kentucky University in 1991 the face of the Republican Party and its savagery and its violence and its misogyny and its hypocrisy. And they can make him the face of it for as long as is necessary, until every goddamned last Republican politician understands that whatever damage they think they will do to a president or to a campaign will be exceeded by the damage they do to themselves. This is how you defeat bullies like James Comer. You want oversight, James Comer? Or as she said, she called you Jamie Comer? You got it. What about Marilyn Thomas, Jamie Comer? Why haven't you addressed Marilyn Thomas, Jamie Comer? I don't see any stories about Marilyn Thomas since 2019, Jamie Comer. What did you do to suppress news coverage of Marilyn Thomas, Jamie Comer? What about the abortion, Jamie Comer? What about the abortion paperwork, Jamie Comer? Is any of this in your laptop, Jamie Comer? We do this, or we have a new Jamie Comer and a new Hunter Biden every time the Republicans take the House forever. If they are not stopped, Republicans will be doing this in the week before climate change kills half the population. See, the thing is, if House Republicans were smart, what they would be investigating first would be Ticketmaster. But they're not. And House Democrats have the opposite problem. They are often too smart for their own good, so they would not be investigating Ticketmaster either, even though it is the softest, easiest, highest yielding, slowest moving target in the world. The one guaranteed to generate the most votes and the most goodwill for the party, which gets one of Ticketmaster's executives in front of the hot lights of a live congressional hearing and has its most vicious conspiracy theorist, it's James Comer, scream, "Have you no sense of decency, sir, at long last? Have you left no sense of decency?" And as the Ticketmaster stooge sits there live on all networks, stone-faced, the congressman then says, "Perhaps our next witness will refresh your memories, sir." And the hearing room erupts in gasps as from a side door in walks Taylor Swift. And the Ticketmaster executive bursts into tears. As ludicrous as it sounds, wouldn't that be a better use of the House Oversight Committee? And I mean better politically. I'm not talking about governmentally, although that's true too. I'm not talking about ethics or reality or importance or policy here. I'm talking about Republicans. Wouldn't that be better than what the Republicans actually did on their first full day as the majority elect? Send this Jamie Comer out there to be eaten alive by those 1991 abuse and abortion allegations? Wait, you haven't heard about the Jamie Comer abuse and abortion allegations? Oh, just give me a minute. Let me go through them. That the American news media, more broken perhaps even than our political system and way more broken than our governmental system, will eat this crap up from Jamie Comer was underscored by this reality. The Republicans do not get the gavel for another 46 days. Lauren Boebert's race is probably headed to a recount now. Nancy Pelosi had just retired as Speaker and, after a record 10 terms, as the leader of her party in the House. An African-American man was going to lead the Democrats in Congress as her successor. And the top two stories on the New York Times websites were about Pelosi, but the third was about Comer and Hunter Biden. On the CNN website, two of the top five stories, Republican investigations. I mean, even the Washington Examiner and RedState.com did not fall for the Comer announcement about Hunter Biden. The race is certainly on to see which of the Sunday shows books Comer and which offers Comer not just one interview, but the opportunity to bring a second guest for a second segment on this nonsense. And as always, my money is on Chuck Todd. We have a confluence of both sidesism right now, a magic moment in the media's desire to insist that gravity is real, but also to prove its, quote, objectivity, unquote, by adding that in this Ohio diner, diners and dishwashers alike say they're not so sure. For the 10 years between the Clinton investigations and the wearing off of the post-9/11 everything, including the bad weather, could be Al-Qaeda haze, Fox News worked the news refs ceaselessly and surgically, and the news refs went home and spent long nights sitting there thinking, what if they're right? Or worse, what if my bosses think they're right? That has never really ended. Its intensity was doubled by the Trump assault on journalism, because you will find no businessman alive whose self-confidence is more of an act than a guy who runs a news organization. And now, as what was thought of as new news media, cable, digital, streaming, begins to follow old news media into the ratings and readership toilet, now all of them are as afraid as anybody in the world that tomorrow they will learn that their job no longer exists. Or their outlet no longer exists, or their audience no longer exists, or they no longer exist. If you have 1,000 fewer consumers this week than last week, you suddenly do start to think, well, maybe we can convince some Republicans to start watching us. And you get things said like were said by CNN's Chris Licht, and I know I'm harping on him. Of course I'm harping on him. I'm trying to destroy him. He was on a Kara Swisher podcast. By the way, there's an hour I'll never get back. It's like being trapped in an elevator with three Valley girls and guys. Good Lord. Anyway, Chris Licht actually said this, and this is actually why I'm trying to destroy him. Quote, the competition for me in cable is not MSNBC or Fox. Hopefully what we're doing is so different and unique that we are affecting people who perhaps have found cable news to be irrelevant in their lives. So the play is not to be offensive to a side, right? And perhaps they will come to us for an unvarnished truth to allow themselves to make their own decisions, unquote. I half expected him to pivot to announce that CNN would be opening a new bureau in this Ohio diner so it can stop being irrelevant to people who don't believe in gravity, so he can make the play of not being offensive to gravity deniers and offer them unvarnished gravity truth to allow themselves to make their own decisions about whether gravity is fake or they are just morons who do not know the answer to that question, and we are going to grab them as new viewers by pandering to them instead of saying, your stupidity is what is destroying this country. Go to night school. This is CNN, where gravity is optional. The James Comers of this world make life easier for the Chris Lichts because they can give fascists airtime yet still quiet the left by saying, oh, but we will have fact checkers on top of them all the time. as if the very act of fact-checking propagandist conspiracy theories does not imbue those theories with a kind of credibility, because you're saying, well, Comer's claim that Hunter Biden stole all the gravity? Our fact-checkers say that's nonsense. But this other stuff that Comer said, well, that might be less untrue. It remains to be seen. This is CNN live from this Ohio gravity-denying diner. It is not entirely bleak. It is encouraging to see that after 30 years of getting their bells rung by Republicans, some Democrats have prepared for this moment and are mounting a gadfly operation here and there to investigate the investigators. Facts First is one of them. It's David Brock. Who else? And this is what he left Media Matters for. And he said yesterday it will have a $5 million a year, quote, SWAT team to counter Republican congressional investigations. And it will not shy from things that, quoting him again, may be too personal or delicate for the White House to be responding or to even be seen as directing a response. Jamie Comer's girlfriend, Dave. David Brock once paid me to fly to Florida for a fundraiser the night before Trump's inauguration in 2017 to give a speech. What are you looking for? I asked. Give me some guidance. Give me a live version of the resistance, he said. These are legacy Democratic leaders who do not think Trump actually represents anything new. One of them is going to get up and say it proves we need more retail politics. I want you to give them some, fire and brimstone. So I did. The speech was outside on a wonderfully warm January night in Fort Lauderdale, and when I got to the part about hounding Trump and bruising him every day in some way and invoking Russia, I came to what should have been, bluntly, an applause point, and nobody said anything. And since we were outside, I literally heard crickets. You do not truly know what the imagery of crickets actually means until you are giving a speech outdoors. And there is a pause, and there are actually crickets. To the audience's credit, and I guess to mine, when I finished with, no matter how long the trip back is from tomorrow, remember and take strength from, and remind all those who forget, and remind all those who deny, and remind all those who lie, remember one thing, we are the majority. There was another brief silence, and a couple of crickets, and then they all got my point simultaneously, and the crowd stood up and roared, and Brock said I should have charged him more for the speech. The solution to Republican obstructionism, the answer to Jamie Comer, has always been there. The obstructionism has almost always been there, and it's always been the same, vile and putrid and destructive, but it actually hasn't evolved at all. Since Newt Gingrich tried to pull off a coup against Bill Clinton and Al Gore, it is contained within the Republican methods. James Comer of Kentucky is going to use the easily wielded weapons of your news organization is not balanced and your news organization needs more on-air conflict to draw viewers. You go to these same organizations and you say your news organization is not balanced. You gave James Comer all this publicity, yet where are your stories about the Jamie Comer scandal? And when they say, what Jamie Comer scandal? David Brock is there to answer them. Jamie Comer, Marilyn Thomas, Western Kentucky University, 1991. Or you could just Google it, because that's what I did. Still ahead, the January 6th committee has about 40 days left as well. It has just appointed a subcommittee to decide whether or not to make criminal referrals. Baseball's 2022 Most Valuable Players are out, and thus the annual debate about what the hell the phrase Most Valuable Player means is out. And of course, here's the secret. That debate is kind of the point. And Fridays with James Thurber, two stories of man, not versus spouse nor dumb relatives, but of man versus life. You don't have to have actually destroyed your own neighbor's bathroom medicine cabinet to feel as if you have been seen when I read you Thurber's classic, Nine Needles. That's next. This is Countdown.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
This is Countdown with Keith Olbermann.
Still ahead, Wither Twitter. Wither January 6th criminal referrals. And what dumb thing did the Commissioner of Baseball just say this time? First, in each edition of Countdown, we feature a dog in need you can help. Every dog has its day. Remember Elsa from Wednesday when the Brooklyn Pound told the human surrendering Elsa that it would cost them a small fee? So they left, and while nobody was watching, they tied Elsa to a fence behind the pound. Elsa has been reserved. She is safe. Today, a classic story of human stupidity about dogs. A big puppy, Miller, was adopted from Outcast Rescue. At 7 months, he ate something he shouldn't have and had to have surgery to get it removed. Now at 9 months, he's done it again. He ate a human sock. So instead of bringing Miller back to the rescue or to the vet this time, the human waited a week and simply then dumped him at the local pound outside Philadelphia. He went septic. He had to have surgery again and special treatment, and he's back at Outcast, and they need help via Cuddly covering his expenses, which should have been far less but for this idiotic human. You can find Miller at Cuddly. He'll also be on my Twitter feeds. If you can donate, that'll be a big help. If you can't, a retweet will be greatly helpful. I thank you, and Miller thanks you. Postscripts to the news, some headlines, some updates, some snark, some predictions. Dateline San Francisco. What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on at Twitter? By one account, Elon Musk's 5 p.m. deadline yesterday for employees to commit to going hardcore or getting 3 months severance ended with 75% of the staff choosing severance. We know this much. Musk closed all Twitter offices until Monday and shut off all badge access, reportedly out of fear that employees would sabotage the company. Fear that who would sabotage the company? Moron. From the Twitter Slack feed, I have worked here at Twitter for over 11 years. Back in July, I was the 27th tenured employee at the company. Now I'm the 15th. Well, that flashed me back to my days at Channel 2 in Los Angeles. Nothing there ever lasted more than 3 months. I started there on August 28, 1988. They tinkered with who was on each newscast, which news anchors, which weathermen. They fired some people. They took some off some shows and put them on other shows. But I was the sportscaster, and I looked up around Thanksgiving and realized that in terms of continuous service on Channel 2 Action News at 5, 6, and 11, after 3 months, I had already become the senior guy in terms of continuous service. And Dateline Washington is officially a lame duck, and there is a chance the Republicans will try to morph it into a committee investigating the January 6th committee. Hey, did you hear about the James Comer scandal? But for now, the Benny Thompson-Liz Cheney joint is still in business, and it has now impaneled a four-member subcommittee, Zoe Lofgren, Adam Schiff, Cheney, and the sub-chair, Jamie Raskin. They will examine whether or not to make criminal and civil referrals to the Justice Department based on what they have found. Cheney, Schiff, Raskin, Lofgren. I think I know where this is going, and I think I know how unanimously it will be when it gets there.
This is SportsCenter. Wait, check that. Not anymore. This is Countdown with Keith Olbermann.
In sports, Paul Goldschmidt of the Cardinals and Aaron Judge of the Yankees, stars of two perpetually underachieving teams, were voted the most valuable players of the National and American Leagues, respectively. Goldschmidt got 22 of 30 first-place votes, and Manny Machado of the underachieving Padres was second. Goldschmidt's teammate Nolan Arenado on the underachieving Cardinals was third. The American League vote was not close. After 62 homers, Aaron Judge got 28 first-place votes and 2 seconds. Shohei Ohtani of the night not quite underachieving Angels got 2 first-place votes and 28 seconds. Lost in this, Ohtani also finished fourth in the vote for the American League Cy Young Award as the top pitcher in 2022. And if you think about it, this by itself, fourth among the best pitchers, second among most valuable players, that by itself suggests Ohtani is almost definitionally the most valuable player in the American League. He is literally accomplishing more than any other combination of two players, one hitter and one pitcher. Baseball has never once defined what it means by most valuable player, although there are waves of time in which assumed that no pitcher should be considered. On the other hand, there used to be a rule that if you were voted MVP, you were not eligible to win it again ever, which is why Babe Ruth had so few MVP awards. Why not set criteria? Because then we wouldn't have the annual argument over who is most valuable and what most valuable means, and baseball needs every last second of publicity it can possibly get. And oh, what a bunch of knee-jerk reactions around the National Football League after it announced that Sunday's game scheduled between the Browns and Bills in Buffalo would be moved because of impending snow right now to Detroit. Thank you, Nancy Faust. The standard reaction to this was, what, they've never played in snow before in Buffalo, or they have to build a dome in Buffalo? The relocation of the game to Detroit is not because of snow in the stadium during the game. It is to keep residents off the streets unnecessarily. Between now and Saturday night, Buffalo is expected to get as much as 5 feet of snow. Ahead, Fridays with Thurber, and it's man versus the eternal madness that is life. Whether you are on the bus with the mouse who went to the country, or you've done the equivalent of dropping Thurber's 9 needles, you will feel these two stories coming up. First, the daily roundup of the miscreants, morons, and Dunning-Kruger effect specimens who constitute today's worst persons in the world. The bronze, former Secretary of State. Really? That happened? I thought that was just a nightmare I had. Former Secretary of State and one of the 276 Republican presidential hopefuls, Mike Pompeo, tweeting, "We need more seriousness, less noise, and leaders who are looking forward, not staring in the rearview mirror claiming victimhood." This is the same Mike Pompeo who said on November 10th, 2020, that there would be a smooth transition, all right, to a second Trump term after Biden had won the election. Oh, that's very serious. That's very unnoisy. That's very forward-looking. That's very non-victim. Very, very much a lie. Runner-up, Snejana Farbarov of the New York Post, quote, President Biden was once again spotted using a detailed cheat sheet, this time at the G20 summit in Bali, instructing him where to sit, when to deliver remarks, and when to pose for photos. Additional instructions said, you will sit at the center and you will deliver opening remarks. Imagine being so unaware of the world. Imagine being Snejana Farbarov of the New York Post that you've never before heard of nor seen what all event organizers hand out at all live events to all participants, which is called a run of show or a rundown. They have one at every awards show, every live television broadcast. Many corporations give them to their own executives who are just going to go speak at luncheons or media events. Why, I saw a run of show handed to a guy from the owners of the Post, News Corp. His name was Roger Ailes, and he had one that said, you go here, you say this, you make a pass at this woman. But our winner, Baseball Commissioner Rob Manfred. It is one thing to get a letter from Pete Rose apologizing and seeking reinstatement after being suspended for 33 years for having wagered on Cincinnati Reds games while he was managing the Cincinnati Reds and denying it because, denying the appeal, that is, because he wagered on games he was managing. It's quite another to explain this to the media as Manfred did last night by saying just, I believe that when you bet on baseball, you belong in the permanently ineligible list. He never made the distinction of who bet or when. I believe that when you bet on baseball, you belong on the permanently ineligible list. What Manfred says there was that if you bet on baseball, ever, as every other commercial in every baseball telecast now tries to get you to do, bet on baseball, if you do bet on baseball, like baseball wants you to bet on baseball, you should be banned from baseball. Rob, did I mention we have an official betting partner of Major League Baseball? But if you bet on baseball, you're banned, Manfred. Today's worst person in the world!
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow the Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
The number one story on the countdown, and it's Fridays with Thurber, and a lot of his work details the fundamental clash between people, husband and wife, he and various relatives, a guy in a bed and a seal, two animals representing any two humans in conflict. But some of the most magical writing is the stuff that is just about one person alone against life. One of his stories ends with a great-grandmother struggling with a butter churn and screaming into the void, "Why doesn't somebody take this goddamn thing away from me?" A line which I think could be the start of a national anthem somewhere. Such a story is Nine Needles, this week's selection. As you will see, it is a little short for our usual time frames here, so I'll give you a bonus, another man versus life story afterwards, in the form of one of Thurber's fables for our time, The Mouse Who Went to the Country. But first, it's unlikely this event has ever happened to you, but the anxiety, that should be immediately familiar. Nine Needles by James Thurber. One of the more spectacular minor happenings of the past few years, which I am sorry that I missed, took place in the Columbus, Ohio home of some friends of a friend of mine. It seems that a Mr. Albatross, while looking for something in his medicine cabinet one morning, discovered a bottle of a kind of patent medicine which his wife had been taking for a stomach ailment. Now, Mr. Albatross is one of those apprehensive men who are afraid of patent medicines and of almost everything else. Some weeks before, he had encountered a paragraph in a consumer's research bulletin which announced that this particular medicine was bad for you. He had thereupon ordered his wife to throw out what was left of her supply of the stuff and never buy any more. She had promised, and here now was another bottle of the perilous liquid. Mr. Albatross, a man given to quick rages, shouted the conclusion of the story at my friend. "I threw the bottle out the bathroom window and the medicine chest after it." It seems to me that must have been a spectacle worth going a long way to see. I am sure that many a husband has wanted to wrench the family medicine cabinet off the wall and throw it out the window, if only because the average medicine cabinet is so filled with mysterious bottles and unidentifiable objects of all kinds that it is a source of constant bewilderment and exasperation to the American male. Surely the British medicine cabinet and the French medicine cabinet and all the other medicine cabinets must be simpler and better ordered than ours. It may be that the American habit of saving everything and never throwing anything away, even empty bottles, causes the domestic medicine cabinet to become as cluttered in its small way as the American attic becomes cluttered in its major way. I have encountered few medicine cabinets in this country which were not packed jammed with something between 150 and 200 different items, from dental floss to boracic acid, from razor blades to sodium perborate, from adhesive tape to coconut oil. Even the neatest wife will put off clearing out the medicine cabinet on the ground that she has something else to do that is more important at that moment, or more diverting. It was in the apartment of such a wife and her husband that I became enormously involved with a medicine cabinet one morning not long ago. I had spent the weekend with this couple. They live on East 10th Street near 5th Avenue. Such a weekend as left me reluctant to rise up on Monday morning with bright and shining face and go to work. They got up and went to work, but I didn't. I didn't get up until about 2:30 in the afternoon. I had my face all lathered for shaving and the washbowl was full of hot water when suddenly I cut myself with the razor. I cut my ear. Very few men cut their ears with razors, but I do. Possibly because I was taught the old Spencerian free wrist movements by my writing teacher in the grammar grades. The ear bleeds rather profusely when cut with a razor and is difficult to get at.
More angry than hurt, I jerked open the door of the medicine cabinet to see if I could find a styptic pencil, and out fell, from the top shelf, a little black paper packet containing 9 needles. It seems that his wife kept a little paper packet containing 9 needles on the top shelf of the medicine cabinet. The packet fell into the soapy water of the washbowl, where the paper rapidly disintegrated, leaving 9 needles at large in the bowl. I was, naturally enough, not in the best condition, either physical or mental, to recover 9 needles from a washbowl. No gentleman who has lather on his face and whose ear is bleeding is in the best condition for anything, even something involving the handling of 9 large, blunt objects. It did not seem wise to me to pull the plug out of the washbowl and let the needles go down the drain. I had visions of clogging up the plumbing system of the house, and also a vague fear of causing short circuits somehow or other. I know very little about electricity, and I don't want to have it explained to me. Finally, I groped very gently around the bowl and eventually had 4 of the needles in the palm of one hand and 3 in the palm of the other. 2, I couldn't find. If I had thought quickly and clearly, I wouldn't have done that. A lathered man whose ear is bleeding and who has 4 wet needles in one hand and 3 in the other may be said to have reached the lowest known point of human efficiency. There is nothing he can do but stand there. I tried transferring the needles in my left hand to the palm of my right hand, but I couldn't get them off my left hand. Wet needles cling to you. In the end, I wiped the needles off onto a bath towel, which was hanging on a rod above the bathtub. It was the only towel that I could find. I had to dry my hands afterward on the bath mat. Then I tried to find the needles in the towel. Hunting for 7 needles in a bath towel is the most tedious occupation I have ever engaged in. I could find only 5 of them. With the 2 that had been left in the bowl, that meant there were 4 needles in all missing. 2 in the washbowl, and 2 others lurking in the towel or lying in the bathtub under the towel? Frightful thoughts came to me of what might happen to anyone who used that towel or washed his face in the bowl or got into the tub if I didn't find the missing needles. Well, I didn't find them. I sat down on the edge of the tub to think, and I decided finally that the only thing to do was to wrap up the towel in a newspaper and take it away with me. I also decided to leave a note for my friends explaining as clearly as I could that I was afraid there were 2 needles in the bathtub and 2 needles in the washbowl and that they better be careful. I looked everywhere in the apartment, but I could not find a pencil or a pen or a typewriter. I could find pieces of paper, but nothing with which to write on them. I don't know what gave me the idea. A movie I had seen, perhaps, or a story I had read, but I suddenly thought of writing a message with lipstick. The wife might have an extra lipstick lying around, and if so, I concluded it would be in the medicine cabinet. I went back to the medicine cabinet, began poking around in it for a lipstick. I saw what I thought looked like the metal tip of one, and I got 2 fingers around it, began to pull gently. It was under a lot of things. Every object in the medicine cabinet began to slide. Bottles broke in the washbowl and on the floor. Red, brown, and white liquids spurted. Nail files, scissors, razor blades, and miscellaneous objects sang and clattered and tinkled. I was covered with perfume, peroxide, and cold cream. It took me half an hour to get all the debris all together in the middle of the bathroom floor. I made no attempt to put anything back in the medicine cabinet. I knew it would take a steadier hand than mine and a less shattered spirit. Before I went away, only partly shaved, and abandoned the shambles, I left a note saying that I was afraid there were needles in the bathtub and the washbowl, and that I had taken their towel, and that I would call up and tell them everything. I wrote it in iodine with the end of a toothbrush. I have not yet called up, I am sorry to say. I have neither found the courage nor thought up the words to explain what happened. I suppose my friends believe that I deliberately smashed up their bathroom and stole their towel. I don't know for sure because they have not yet called me up either. Nine Needles by James Thurber. And as I suggested, in a broad sense, on the same subject, from his Fables for Our Time and Famous Poems Illustrated, The Mouse Who Went to the Country by James Thurber. Once upon a Sunday, there was a city mouse who went to visit a country mouse. He hid away on a train the country mouse had told him to take, only to find that on Sundays it did not stop at Beddington. Hence, the city mouse could not get off at Beddington and catch a bus for Seibert's Junction, where he was to be met by the country mouse. The city mouse, in fact, was carried on to Middleburg, where he waited 3 hours for a train to take him back. When he got back to Beddington, he found out that the last bus for Seibert's Junction had just left. So he ran and he ran and he ran, and he finally caught the bus and crept aboard, only to find that it was not the bus for Seibert's Junction at all, but was going in the opposite direction through Pell's Hollow and Grum to a place called Wimberby. When the bus finally stopped, the city mouse got out into a heavy rain and found that there were no more buses that night going anywhere. "To the hell with it," said the city mouse, and he walked back to the city. Moral? Stay where you are. You're sitting pretty. The Mouse Who Went to the Country by James Thurber. I've done all the damage I can do here. Thank you for listening. If you're not following or subscribed to the podcast, whatever, please do so. And stop a stranger on the street and tell them to as well. And if they give you a hard time about it, I don't know. Here are the credits. Most of the music, including our theme from Beethoven's Ninth, was arranged, produced, and performed by Brian Ray and John Philip Chanel, who are the Countdown musical directors. All orchestration and keyboards by John Philip Chanel. Guitars, bass, and drums by Brian Ray. Produced by TKO Brothers. Some other Beethoven selections have been arranged and performed by No Horns Allowed. The sports music is the Olbermann theme from ESPN2. It was written by Mitch Warren Davis, courtesy of ESPN Inc. Musical comments by Nancy Faust, the best baseball stadium organist ever. Our announcer today was John Dean. Everything else, including the pronunciation of Seibert's Junction and Seibert's Junction, was pretty much my fault. So that's Countdown for this, the 682nd day since Donald Trump's first attempted coup against the democratically elected government of the United States. Arrest him now while we still can. A new episode Monday. Have a good weekend. Till then, I'm Keith Olbermann. Good morning, good afternoon, good night, and good luck. Countdown with Keith Olbermann is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Dealing with pests can be a pain, but relax, Terminix can help. Because when pests show up, so does Terminix. With over 95 years of experience, they have what it takes to take on any pest problem fast. If your home or business has pests, don't stress it. Terminix it. Visit Terminix.com to book your appointment online today. That's TERMINIX.com.